Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Kansas Briefing. This is your host, the Speaker Pro Tem, Blake Carpenter, representative from District 81, which is Southeast Wichita and North Derby. So today we actually have a great program set up for you. Instead of it just being myself and one other individual, we're actually going to be having a three-way conversation regarding Medicaid expansion here in the state of Kansas. As many of you know, Governor Kelly has been out there telling everybody that, you know, Medicaid expansion is the cure-all. It's the cure-all. It's like ShamWow. You know, it'll make it everything happen. It'll fix everything. You don't have to worry about it at all. And just give them a call and they'll fix it. Well, today we're going to provide you with the actual facts and details about what Medicaid expansion would do to the state of Kansas if we actually pursued this policy. And while the governor made it sound like this was a good deal or that she compromised by adding work requirements, we're actually going to break down what her bill would do and what it wouldn't do and get rid of the overall advertising that she's been... You can put lipstick on a pig, but you know, it's still a pig. And so we're going to talk to our two individuals here. I'm going to let them introduce themselves and where they're from, the organizations that they work with, and you know, really why they're experts on this issue as they've traveled around the United States to work on it. So we'll go ahead and start with you, okay. And then we'll go ahead and pass it off from there.
Great. Well, thank you. I'm excited to talk about this topic today. Before I do, let me say a little bit about us and this organization. So Sam and I, who you'll be hearing from in a minute, are from the Foundation for Government Accountability. And we are a 501c3. We work in 30 plus states around the country. And in a nutshell, this is what we believe. We think that work is a miracle. The food on your table, the clothes on your back, and the roof over your head were bought and built by work. And when governments get in the way of that, it's bad for the state, it's bad for your community, and it's bad for this country. So we travel around the United States of America encouraging legislatures to make sure that any able-bodied adult that can go to work does go to work. And unfortunately, as Sam will tell you in a few minutes, there's a lot of bad ideas out there that are discouraging folks from going to work. And Governor Kelly's Medicaid expansion is point A on that front. So we're excited to talk about that, why it's just the worst thing this state could ever do. And we're going to get you some facts and some evidence. And the good news is everything we have is sourced. So if you go to www.thefga.org, so the fga.org, it's all right there on our website. Everything we talk about today, you can grab it, use it for yourself, and feel free to contact the folks that you see on the website if you have more questions. So I'll turn it over to Sam so that he can go with a quick overview of why this is a disaster that Kansas needs to avoid.
Sure. Thanks, Roy, and thanks, Representative, for having us on here today. It's really great to be with you. My name is Sam Adolfson. I'm the policy director at the FGA. And before I was the policy director here at FGA, I worked in the state of Maine, where I'm from, in the welfare office. I was the deputy commissioner for Medicaid and other welfare programs there in Maine. So I've really seen firsthand how the program works and what happens when you expand welfare. We work in 32 states across the country, and we've been a part of these Medicaid expansion discussions. And here we are in Kansas, with Kansas facing that decision of, do we expand this program that was built for the truly needy? Do we now expand it to able-bodied adults? And that's really the first thing that everyone needs to understand about the program. It's, if you expand Medicaid in Kansas, you will not be expanding it to children or the elderly or the disabled. Those folks are already on the program today. You already take care of those folks.
You're very generous. Kansas is a very generous state, just to make so that folks listening know that. It's an incredibly generous state right now.
Can you explain how so?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And you cover the truly needy in the state in a variety of ways. So, for example, you cover, with the Medicaid program, every child in the state of Kansas in a family with up to 250% of the federal poverty level. So what that means is the level that's set as someone being in poverty is 100%. You cover it at 2.5 times that limit, any family with children in the house. And those families get covered for a full year no matter what happens to their circumstances. You cover pregnant women who are lower income all in the state for up to 12 months after they have the baby. You cover the elderly, disabled in a variety of ways. There's really a generous program already that you have here in Kansas. And you spend about $6 billion a year doing that, taxpayer money. Some of that's from Washington, D.C., and a lot of it is from Kansas taxpayers. And so really, you're a generous state on this front already.
And it's 23% of your state budget.
It's huge. It's people might not know this. You know, Medicaid is not Medicare. Medicare is a federal program for the elderly. Medicaid is the program we're describing here, is a medical program for low-income, needy individuals and the disabled. And it takes up a huge part of your state budget. You may think it's, you know, 5%, 10%. No, it's a full quarter of the Kansas budget now, all funds, is on this program already.
Well, and if we look at over the last 23 years, we've seen that funding go from, what was it, 7% in 2000 to 23% of our budget now?
That's right. And you'll hear from some proponents of expansion that, you know, we really need to add to this program and do new things. You have been growing the program steadily already, as you mentioned, over the last 20 years. It's gone from really a small part of the budget to this much bigger investment. And in that way, Kansas is already being generous without any new expansion.
You know, I think an important thing for folks listening to understand is there is not an unlimited amount of money. You're not the federal government. Kansas is not printing cash here. And so what this means is when you have an expanding Medicaid budget, that means less money for schools, roads, police, bridges, you name it. What the programs that you're supporting now get diminished because Medicaid is like Pac-Man. It eats your budget alive.
Well, and you know, I've been listening to some of the testimony over the last couple of days and actually not on Medicaid specifically, but listening to you guys talk to us at caucus, but also listening to you guys talk about welfare issues as well. But, you know, I heard a number from, I believe it was Indiana. Can you guys tell us what's happening in Indiana right now as far as what's going on with their budgets as they've expanded, or even not just Indiana, but what are we seeing in other states that we can learn from before we commit ourselves to expansion?
Yeah, it's a great question because 10 years ago when this was first offered out of Washington, D.C., out of Obamacare, states didn't know for sure what was going to happen. And they did their best to project, okay, we may add, you know, 200, 300,000 people to the program and then come to find out it's actually 500,000, 600,000. And Kansas has the advantage because you did not take that initial offer to expand 10 years ago. You now can look around at your neighbors and other states who did and say, okay, let's really evaluate what went on in those states and what's this really going to look like if we ever went down this road. The answer is a complete budget disaster. That's what's going to happen. And that's exactly what we're seeing unfolding, as you pointed out, in Indiana. They just found out that they have a surprise $1 billion shortfall just in their Medicaid budget this session that they're having to deal with. And the first place that they're looking to save that money, sadly, is with the disabled community. They're looking at some services that they have to cut back in that area. And so when you go state by state, when you go to West Virginia and Kentucky and Arizona, and even those, you know, those really far out there states like California and New York, it's a disaster. Everywhere Medicaid expansion has been tried, it comes in over budget, it comes in over enrollment, and you end up with a big problem.
Think of the irony right now, what you guys are talking about here. The state of Kansas, like Florida and Tennessee and Texas, other states that didn't expand Medicaid, are looking at surpluses. And your conversation is, what can we do to get this money back to the taxpayers of the state of Kansas? I mean, you guys have probably one of the most exciting tax cut bills in the country coming before you this session, lowering, I think it's property taxes, income taxes. I mean, you're going...
Sales taxes, we're doing all three.
Yeah, so I'm like, you could never even have that conversation if you're Kentucky, Indiana, West Virginia, California, New York. All of these states are talking about cutting, and you guys are talking about returning money to the taxpayer. It's a luxury that people in Kansas need to appreciate.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I'm from the state of Maine, And in Maine, we resisted this kind of siren song of Medicaid expansion for a whole number of years. And then finally, it was passed on the ballot. And they said, well, hey, 70,000 people, that's the most able-bodied adults that will ever enroll in this program, is about 70,000 people. Well, as we're sitting here today, there's 109,000 in a small state of just over a million people in the state of Maine. 109,000 able-bodied adults. Most of them are men without kids in the house. Most of them are between 19 and 40 years old. So think of what we've done in the state of Maine. We have businesses desperate to find workers, help wanted signs all up and down every street in Maine, a state that used to be known for its hard work, its work ethic of its people. And now we've got a tenth of the state is able-bodied adults with no kids on welfare. So that's kind of the picture that we see as we go state by state. And we're saying to Kansas, hey, you're a state that gets up in the morning and goes to work. That's how this state was built. You produce things. You engage in your community. You get up and go get the job done. That's what's at stake when you start thinking about Medicaid expansion and able-bodied adults.
And so real quick, with that, what is the disincentive to work? So can you share that aspect of it? Like, so why aren't these people going into the workforce? What is Medicaid expansion doing to really the human aspect of this?
Let me just say one thing, Sam, I'll let you add on to that, is there's only one qualification for able-bodied adults who want to be on the Medicaid expansion program. Do you know what that is?
Go ahead.
Commit to remaining poor.
Yep.
That's it. You have to, and it's the reverse incentive. As long as you're willing to not work and not make a living, you can get your free Medicaid. It's the absolute, it's insanity. What you're seeing is the lowest labor force participation rate in the history of this country. It's dropped, I think, is it 5 percentage points directly as a rise in food stamps and Medicaid increases.
Yeah, and what we've seen is that labor force participation, and any business owner out there who may be listening, I don't have to tell you, you're begging people to even show up for an interview. Like, just come in, and if you can show up on time and stay till the end of the day, you're hired. We have seen that labor force participation problem be extremely bad in specifically in Medicaid expansion states. So some of the states that were early adopters that we've mentioned have dropped 10, 11% in their labor force participation. Kansas is doing pretty well. Your participation in your workforce has only gone down about 3% compared to those other states. You're hanging in there. You're still a state that goes to work. And, you know, there's a lot of budget concerns. There's a lot of, you know, the truly needy are potentially at risk here if you start giving away billions more dollars in these programs. But the thing we know for sure will happen is your labor force will draw down even more than it has. And that's a real problem for your state as a whole, your economy.
And so when we're talking about these numbers, you said that there are over projections in Maine, but we've seen that in every single state that has expanded. It's not just, you know, no state has actually ever come in at their projected amounts within budget. And so my question to you is, when the governor and others who are pro-Medicaid expansion come out and say, well, it's only 150,000 Kansans that will be on this program, do you think that that number is accurate based on what we've seen in other states?
No, it's not accurate. It's way too low. And that 150,000, that's been a number floating around this statehouse for almost a decade. And they haven't bothered to
just
adjust it, despite the changing times. Yeah, it's, you know, one of the first things I learned in government is if you see a number with three zeros at the end, that means it was made up out of thin air. you know, generally speaking, that number is probably low by a factor of at least a half. So we think there's probably 350,000 able-bodied adults in Kansas who will actually sign up, and that's based on the state of Idaho is 96% over enrollment. Arkansas spending more than twice what they projected originally. I mentioned the Maine numbers. You can go state by state. Iowa, Indiana, all those states we've discussed already. generally speaking, you see a doubling of the projections. And so we expect Kansas would be the same.
You know, let's go back to that number. Let's say it is, you give them the 150,000. One of the more insidious things, and I'll let Sam fill in the details, is more than half of those people have private insurance right now. So when that, when you hear that number, 150,000 people will get Medicaid expansion, you need to understand half of them, more than half, have private health care. So what you were basically saying is, come get on the public dole, medical welfare, that's what this is, and don't have a private plan anymore. Well, think about that. In fact, it's so bad, and I don't know if listeners know this, but right now, if you are at the 100% poverty level, and just for a number, it's about $15,000 for a single guy. It's poverty, okay? If you make $15,000 a year, you're at the 100% poverty level. There, you can sign up on the healthcare exchange at healthcare.gov and get a silver plan for free. No premiums, no out-of-pocket costs. You can go all the way up to 138%, up to 150% actually, of poverty and get a private healthcare plan, which is better. Doctors actually accept it, unlike Medicaid, and it's yours. And you don't have any costs. Here's the rub. The day you expand Medicaid, any person working in the state of Kansas between 100 and 138% of poverty loses their exchange and is automatically transferred to the state's medical welfare program called Medicaid. So think about that. Tens of thousands of Kansans will lose their private health care if they fall in that between 100 and 138% and go on the welfare program. That sends a terrible message, and it's shameful that this governor is running around and pushing that issue. It's absolutely disgusting. And I'll just also just to add here, the beauty of the silver plan is you got to get to 100% of poverty to get that free plan. And what does that sound like to you? Sounds like a work requirement to me. And just to put it in perspective, go to your local Target, work 15 hours a week, and you've got free health care. That's what that means. That's what the poverty level is. 15 hours, a job at Target, free health care. It's not complicated. And people ought to get off their butts and do it.
Yeah, I don't know if I have anything to add.
Yeah, well, it's just a sin, honestly.
It's a fact. And the thing is, that's what you have right now. So I would say, you know, to the governor, what's the problem? You have it good in Kansas. Your budget is in good shape. And you've got people going to work. Stop trying to grow the welfare state. What is the what's the reason behind that? And it's exactly what Roy is saying. They want folks on welfare, dependent on the government, and living that style of life that's really counterproductive to both them and the state. So it's really a terrible road that she's trying to take the state.
You know, when she's out around this state selling this pack of lies, voters should ask her this question. What's a better day for a Kansan? Their first paycheck or their first welfare check? Why is she the welfare check governor? She should be the paycheck governor. It's a paycheck legislature. So she needs to change her tune.
Absolutely. Wow, you guys are preaching pretty hard here. Love it. No,
I can dial it down if you need like a six.
I love it. No, fantastic.
It's Sam. He does that to me. He gets me all agitated.
The listeners need to hear it because this is what's happening around America. And unfortunately, the media is not reporting this. Instead, if you go and look at all these states pre-Medicaid expansion, they're out there beating the drum for it about how it's the best thing since sliced bread. And it's not. The thing about it is, like you said, we have facts, we have data that proves that this is not an effective policy or plan that the media has even made it out to be. They're complicit. They're you know, accomplices in carrying this out because they have an agenda themselves.
Yeah. Sam, can you just touch on really quickly here, and I know we're short some time here, but the control aspect of the healthcare. People need to understand that Medicaid is a federal program, and even though it says CanCare, it's not. It's DC Care. And can you explain that and why Medicaid expansion exacerbates that and makes it even more worse?
Yeah, and if we back up a little bit, we talked about this whole expansion is for able-bodied adults, Anything else you hear is incorrect. It's for able-bodied adults. And that, so that's A, able-bodied. We talked about all the budget overruns that have happened in every state, the budget problems it creates, and that's bad for the truly needy, the disabled, the elderly. It's bad for taxpayers. So budget overruns, that's B. So we got A and B, and then C. And C is what Roy just described. It's control by Washington, D.C. And those are the kind of the ABCs here of Medicaid expansion. Control by Washington, D.C., you think about, this is a massive government-run program that was created in Washington, D.C., and it's run from Washington, D.C. So as you expand that, now, if you're really into the folks in Washington, D.C. tell you how to live your life, then I can see where you probably want to get on board.
And I think most Kansans do not want that.
I agree absolutely with that.
I don't think anybody's looking for more more strings from Congress or anyone else there on in Washington. And what happens is this is a way for them to tell you, Kansas, how to run more and more of your healthcare policy, your hospital operations, your doctor's offices, is by putting more people on a program that they run. And so I think it's really important not to miss that fact. You want to do it the Kansas way, not the Washington, D.C. way. And Medicaid expansion gets in the way of that.
And so I think that's absolutely right. Nobody wants Washington, D.C. But, you know, there's also this thing of, speaking of the federal government, there's also this talking point that's going out right now. That
the free money talking point.
The free money talking point. That's exactly where I'm going. You have given up $7 billion for not expanding over the last decade. Well, let's dive into that talking point a little bit and how it's untruthful. Who wants to take it? I mean,
well, let's just start with the facts. People in Kansas are pretty thrifty, right? This is not Illinois, okay? Ask yourself this very important question. We have a $34 trillion national debt. $34 trillion. We are bankrupting our children, our grandchildren, and our great-grandchildren. So when the governor or everybody else says we're missing out on the free money, there's no pot of free money. It's debt. Sam, I'll let you add on to that.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly right. That's the bottom line. This isn't some set-aside sitting in a vault up there on Capitol Hill and, you know, with the label Kansas on it and you're missing out on it. This is deficit spending. And the only thing you're doing by resisting that is helping the taxpayers, the federal taxpayers in Kansas.
And America.
And the country. You're providing leadership saying, look, no, we're going to take care of our truly needy, but we're not going to spend money that we don't have to put a whole new class of able-bodied adults on welfare. So, yeah, that whole thing is a myth. There isn't some, you know, if we don't get it, another state will. Kansas already draws down a lot of federal money. You're getting what you need for your budget. You don't need to, you know, go try to take a chunk of that $34 trillion deficit just to expand welfare.
And so now that we're talking about money, we're going to transition into another topic, that this money that we're missing out on will save rural hospitals. So let's talk about what's happened in other states. I mean, I could go into it, but since you guys are the guests, I'll let you guys cover it. And you guys have obviously been to all these other states too, so you can talk about it as well. But then also we'll talk about how much money the rural hospitals are actually going to get with this policy.
Yeah, I'll jump in first and then let Roy chime in here. But the bottom line is it doesn't help the hospitals. We know this. State after state after state that has expanded has just as tough a time with their current hospital finances, particularly the rural hospitals we hear about. There are more hospitals at risk of closing or closing in Arkansas, where they've had Medicaid expansion for some time, than there are in Kansas. Your hospitals are doing better. Maine, I mentioned, we expanded Medicaid several years ago now. We just had another hospital closure. And you know what they cited as the reason? It wasn't Medicaid. It was staff. They couldn't find workers. And those workers are on the sidelines. They're on Medicaid now instead of going to work at the hospital. So I think the whole idea that the hospitals have to have this to get by has been disproven time and time again.
Yeah, and you know, your listeners may not know this, but when you walk in with a private healthcare plan, they see gold because you're paying twice, 200, 225% of the cost compared to a Medicaid person. So
can you break that down?
So somebody who's on Medicaid comes in, the number they use is 70% of the cost of the service provided is what Medicaid reimbursements rate cover. The private sector, those with you with premiums, you're subsidizing those. So when you shift hundreds of thousands of people from private healthcare to public welfare, which is what Medicaid is, you are essentially saying to hospitals, you're now going to get 70 cents on the dollar as opposed to $2.25. Well, of course, you're going to lose more money.
And here in Kansas, I think it's actually 40 cents. It's not even 70 cents. It's 40 cents.
Yeah, it depends on the service. But the bottom line is,
that's a great point because most of these hospitals already have a Medicaid shortfall. It's called a Medicaid shortfall. They're underwater on Medicaid. And I think it's a pretty basic rule in finance and in life. If you find yourself in a hole, stop digging. If you already, part of the problem with the hospital finances is Medicaid already, is more Medicaid going to solve that problem? No.
And these doctors are probably not inclined to take 40 cents per dollar when they can see other people.
Well, access to care is a huge problem for the Medicaid population because they're not paying what it costs.
And so if we add hundreds of thousands of able-bodied individuals into the current population with children, with pregnant individuals, elderly, what does that do to services?
Yeah, that's...
Well, it hurts those people, for starters.
That's a critical question. Absolutely. It hurts the truly needy, right? It hurts the folks that need the help the most. We also know there was a study in Oregon, the biggest of its kind. They were one of the first states to expand Medicaid. And there was this study done of the able-bodied adults on Medicaid versus those who are uninsured. And this was done over a long time period. It's kind of a double blind, like standard, gold standard of studies. And what they found was that the individuals on Medicaid weren't any healthier during that period than even the uninsured. They couldn't get access. The services weren't lifting them up the way that they thought they would. And so what we're finding is that this whole idea that we need Medicaid expansion to improve health isn't bearing out. It's not actually impacting the bottom line of making individuals more healthy. And we saw that in Maine too. They said, hey, we need Medicaid expansion to solve the drug crisis. 4 years into Medicaid expansion, we set the all-time record in the state for drug overdose deaths.
Almost 800 folks in Maine, which Maine's a little over a million people. That's an extraordinary number. Shocking. And it correlates directly with the increase in the population of Medicaid. Sam actually testified in Congress to that very issue. I think, was it Senator Johnson?
Yeah, just some of the issues there. You know, Medicaid was a big prescriber of opioids. And so Medicaid actually drove some of that problem with the drug overdose deaths instead of helping the way it was intended to. So it's most certainly not what it's being held out to be by the governor, which is this silver bullet magic solution. You know, you started the podcast this way. It's going to solve all the ills of the state. And you don't have to wonder about that or guess at it. You can look around at these other states. It has not solved those problems. It's only created new ones.
Budget. And just a reminder, everything we've just said is sourced. We use the government websites. And if you go to vfga.org, get yourself educated. It's all right there. Learn to fight back sort of this misinformation that is out there and all over the place. So I think I would just sort of end as we wrap up is this notion of Kansas is doing it right. What does Kansas want to be? Kansas wants to be a place of independence, hard work, and people that get up in the morning and go to work and support their families. And Medicaid expansion ruins all of that, and it creates an entire generation of folks who don't go to work. So they don't have that first job. They don't have the second job. They don't get married. They don't raise a family. They don't buy a house. It's a devastating, devastating impact culturally on a state in the long term. And Kansas is darn lucky that they haven't done it.
Well, and I hope moving forward we don't. But you know what's also interesting is that a part of their a part of the proponents' talking points with Medicaid expansion is how it's going to create 3,500 jobs in the state of Kansas. But we've also seen this and heard this same talking point in other states too. But how has that panned out for them?
Yeah, it's kind of the same old story, and not sound like a broken record, but it didn't create jobs. In fact, specifically in the healthcare field, it actually cost jobs in states like Arkansas, and we've got some studies to that effect on the website. And it's not a winner on any economic standpoint. It's not going to create jobs, and it's going to close businesses when they can't find workers. And yeah. You see that happening. You know, that's not a theory. That's going on around the country. That places have to shutter up because no one will come in and do the job. So that's the biggest
issue.
And I
like the fact that you're using Arkansas, because not only are they relatively close to us within the region, but they're also similar population-wise as well. Mm-hmm. They're a little over 3 million people, yeah. Just right around where we're at.
And just to put my tinfoil hat on for just one quick minute here, this is about universal single-payer Canadian-style healthcare. That's what they want. They want to shove as many people as possible onto a government-run healthcare system. And Medicaid expansion is just another stake in the ground to do that. And so if you want another great reason to resist it, it's socialism. And we don't need socialism.
It's incrementalism. This is just another part of moving towards their overall left agenda that they are seeking for the entire country.
That's right.
So... Well, you know what? I sincerely appreciate all the information that you guys have. And for one more time, if you could, what's the website? Where can people go and find this information to educate themselves more and even do more in-depth data analysis than what we've even covered just in this podcast alone?
Yep. VFGA.org. It's that simple. You can go there. There's a drop-down menu of our issues, and there's a whole Medicaid page just dedicated to Medicaid.
Fantastic. Well, thank you guys so much for your time. And thank you to all the listeners out there for listening to another episode of the Kansas Briefing. We will catch you again next time.